Judges chapter 14. We were in chapter 13 last week, 2 weeks ago. And anybody remember the title of the message? Nerd Alert. Okay, and tonight is Nerd Alert 2, which is what we're going to be going into. And the reason why I gave this title is to keep us in tune to what is going on. It really has nothing to do with it. You'll see a little bit of it tonight, and hopefully I don't have to drag it out. Jalen was asking me a couple weeks ago, Dad, what is it? And I was kind of giving her some hints, and she wasn't getting that. And finally, I gave her a letter that's in there, and she figured it out. And so she is the first person to figure out why I came up with Nerd Alert 2, and it has nothing to do with me standing before you. Okay? So I just want you to understand those things. You might think that I'm a nerd or a geek, but I'm not. But anyway, let's begin reading in verses number 1 and probably read down through verse number 20. Actually, I want to start in verse 24 of the last chapter. Verse number 24, chapter 13. And it says, the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zoar and Eshtaol. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion warred against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. I don't know about you, but that's an exciting story right there. If that happened to me, guess what I'd be doing? I'd be running home telling mom and dad and brothers and sisters what took place, and I know what would come out of their mouth. You're lying. No, I went up against a lion. Verse number 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and hunting the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made their feast, for so used the young man to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire, and he called us to take that we have, is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him, said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my mother, nor my father, nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told a riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Boy, this story starts off great, and then we see the ending is not so great. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go through this. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day that you've given us. God, you know that I have had some trouble this afternoon. So, God, I pray that your will would be done in this message tonight. I pray that you would have me use the words that you would want me to use. Whatever is not usable on this tablet, Lord, I pray that you would erase that. God, I pray you would speak to our hearts, challenge us from your word. Again, thank you for the privilege that we have to come underneath the preaching of your word. We thank you. We love you. We ask it in your name. Amen. The last time that we looked at Samson, we really dove into where the foundation of his strength lieth. Yes, the parents were told to never put a razor to his head, but it all started with his parents raising him in the Lord. Some might not agree, but that is okay. He had to have a foundation of having a relationship with the Lord. And his parents brought him up in the Lord. We also saw earlier in this chapter 13 that his parents were visited by the angel of the Lord. I didn't expound on this a couple weeks ago. I really wanted to, but I didn't have the time. And I'm not really going to expound much on it tonight, but I am going to give you just a little bit of things to chew on here. It wasn't just an angel, for it was God. Which is why Manoah's response back in verse number 22 of chapter 13. Let's read this again. It says, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die. What are the next five words out of here? Because we have seen God. Manoah knew that the angel that was in his presence that day was God. So we read here, beginning in verse number 24, chapter number 13, the birth of Samson. We established a foundation of his relationship with his parents and his parents' relationship with the angel of the Lord, God himself. That is very important for us to understand those things. And I tried to bring this out a couple weeks ago because you and I who have children need to be raising our children up in the eyes of God. There's no other way. There's no other right way but in the eyes of God himself. And we need to take that with great seriousness. So as we move on, verse number 24 says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. I noticed something in verse number 25 that doesn't only stick out to me here, but it sticks out to me in chapter number 24. And what this is the Spirit of the Lord began to move. The Spirit of the Lord began to move. So we see and we read of the birth of Samson, and then immediately we go from a baby, from the birth, to where we are now at some point in some time as a young adult, male in his life at this point in time. Quite the jump in this story. Would you not agree with me on that? Normally when kids are born, we are just anxious for every single day. We don't want those days to go by so fast because we treasure those moments and we cherish those because we know that they're going to fly away as quick as they came. But here it gives a real description of how fast life goes before us. It truly does. I'm standing here tonight, and I see my nephews and nieces who are now grown men and grown women who have their own kids and going off into their own life. I have my own daughter who is now what they consider in our world a young adult. By the way, she is a young adult, and so therefore I will start charging her rent. She's got a job now. I can do those things. But unfortunately, she's my daughter. She's lucky in those things. What we see here that Samson is grown up immediately before our eyes. And as this takes place, he sees a woman that we read about in Scripture. And he begins to go to his parents and doesn't really approach them politely. In my mind, he approaches them rather very rudely and disrespectful. Because he goes, hey, I'm just paraphrasing. I see a woman, go get her for me. I will tell you this, if that was my mom and dad that I was talking to, I'd be having some words coming back my way. In the forms of probably a belt and a board. Those words hurt. And I see the disrespectfulness that he had there. And I'm not going to dwell upon that. But I noticed two interesting things here. Back in chapter 13, it's just some observation that I've made. But in chapter number 13, and I talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago, his mother's name is never mentioned, nor do we see that Samson's wife's name is mentioned. I'm dwelling on this for a purpose here. Because I'm trying to bring something out that as we were children, we were always taught about Samson and Delilah. So in my mind, I always pictured Delilah being the first and actual wife of Samson. Because those stories were never really expounded upon. We just hit the surface of those things. And so that's why I'm trying to just mention this tonight. But obviously this isn't that of important. But I still can't help but wonder why. Why aren't their names mentioned? What's the purpose behind it? What's the meaning behind it? And I know someday that when we get to heaven, we'll figure those things out. I have come to realize in God's word, we're not meant to understand everything. And God's going to reveal more of his mystery to us when we're in his presence. So as we continue along in this story, his parents and Samson, they both go to Timnath. Apparently, they didn't go at the same time, because here's what I get out of this. Let's pick this back up in verse number 5. It says, then Samson went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion warred against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. So I'm getting out of this, if they were together, they would have seen this take place. So obviously, as they're going to Timnath, they separated their ways. Why is this important? I don't know. I'm trying to give us a different picture here. I believe it's an interesting story when you begin to think about those things. And so now that he's out of the presence of his mom and his father, he's in the vineyards of Timnath, and he's approached by a lion. And he does something very spectacular. So I mentioned something in verse number 25 of chapter 13. It said, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. Look what takes place in verse number 6 as Samson is approached by a lion. By the way, this is not the first time in Scripture. Anybody else remember a story that a young man took care of a lion? Young man David, taking care of a sheep. And you can find that in 1 Samuel. A young boy who stood up to something that was far more superior than him, and he took action to save the flock that he was caring for. So we see here in verse number 6, this is intriguing to me. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Where does Samson get his strength? We laid the foundation a few weeks ago. Samson's strength, we must understand this, comes from the Spirit of the Lord. It's not in his long hair. Yes, he was told not to put a razor to his head. But it is the Spirit of the Lord who came upon him. He doesn't come upon him just at this one time. There are a few other instances where the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him. So we rehearsed of young shepherd boy David. But what these two young men did was extraordinary on how they were able to be delivered from these situations. I believe even David relied upon the Holy Spirit to help him in that matter with the lion that was upon him and his flock. Not one word is mentioned about the length of his hair. Is this important? Yes, for this reason. Verse 6, I believe, is the key to this whole thing. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. We just heard a few moments ago, Naomi giving a testimony about her little girl, Aleah, and how we think that young children cannot understand the things that adults are talking about. But never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit working in a child's life. Never underestimate that. We can have children in here right now that are listening to the sound of my voice, and the Holy Spirit can deliver a message to them and make it very understandable to them. I truly believe that. The only way that you and I have strength to overcome things in life is because of the Lord, because of the Holy Spirit working on our behalf. And it's no different than the Holy Spirit that came to rescue Samson at this occasion in his life. We have the same Holy Spirit. Here's Samson. He doesn't make a big deal out of this. I said earlier, I'd make a big deal. I would be screaming about this. A couple weeks ago, I got to tell you a story because I know you might be sick of me talking about golf. That's okay. If you don't like me talking about golf, I'll forgive you. Just plain and simple, I'll forgive you. But I was out a couple weeks ago. My game's been really struggling. And a few weeks ago, I went with Gary, and Gary can testify to this. I was driving these balls a long distance, and that's not normal for me, and he knows that. And I was excited, and I went out the next day with another friend of mine, and I did horrible. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go out again and fix this. And so I went out, and I got on the tee. I couldn't hit the ball more than 20 feet. I put another ball down there. That was my mulligan. So I'm going to do better this time. Same thing, different direction, 20 feet. I'm going to take another mulligan. Same thing, different direction, 20 feet. I took four mulligans on that one. And I decided that I saw a group of guys coming up, and I took my balls, picked them up very quickly, and I got in my golf cart, and I drove about 200 yards, dropped a ball, and began to hit. That's how far I hit it in my mind. Long story short, I had a group of guys in front of me, and they weren't the greatest of players. They were just like me. Kid got it up on a green on the first hit, and he taps it in for a birdie. And I'm back by the tee box watching this all take place. You know what I heard? I heard excitement in his voice. I saw a young man jumping up and down, making a big deal out of a situation. He goes, hey, this is my first birdie. That's nice. I haven't had any. I've hit some birds. I kid you not. I've hit some geese in Sioux City. They don't know how to fly out of the way. But what I see here, Samson, he doesn't make a big deal out of this. He goes along his way. Nothing to it. Like it's normal for him. And then he goes on and he doesn't even say a word to his parents. In verse 8, we see the next thing in life for Samson, after this great task, he takes on a wife. The next few verses tend to take me by surprise. We are talking about a man who has great strengths, but now we see a man who uses a riddle for sport. Let's pick it up down in verse number 11. It says, "And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment." I want you to pay attention to this verse, because we're going to see something here in the last verse. So we see Samson going to this thing called a riddle. If you haven't figured it out yet, this is where I get the nerd alert from. Whenever I think of a riddle, I'm sorry, but I think of someone who is nerdish or who is might be a geek in those matters. But here is what I see here. I would at this point in time be honest with you, and I would say, Samson, you've lost your man card. Not only is there physical strength, I've come to understand this today, but not only is there a physical strength, there is also a mental strength that can be used against your enemy as well. You know, I've seen something this past week. I've heard stories about it, about a young gymnast who can no longer perform because she lacks mental strength. It's not just about the physical part, it's mental as well. And I'm not faulting her any way, shape, or form. That's something that she's going to have to deal with and live with the rest of her life. People's going to ridicule her, criticize her, but I will say this, you and I are not in her position. We have not been drilled the way that she has been drilled since the early age of 5 when it comes to those types of sports. So there is a physical strength that Samson had, and he also had a mental strength. To outwit someone is very satisfying. And I can't even hold a candle in the wind when it comes to people of great intelligence. You know, for many years, my brother Wayne was a genius. He was very intelligent. And I tried in many ways, shapes, or form to have a mind like him. But I couldn't have a mind like him. My mind is simple. He was an intelligent thinker. He was witty. He would say some things that would just take me by surprise. And I'd laugh my head off, and I would try to come back with things in my mind to make him laugh. I come to find out later on, the only thing that made him laugh was my stupidity. That's okay. It got him to laugh. Well, he's an intelligent man. So often we hear of his strength, as we later will, when it comes to defeating the enemy. But here he uses his mind. All they had to do was solve a riddle. They didn't know of what happened to Samson earlier on in life. And some, even in church, don't even give this a second thought. Here they couldn't figure it out. They resorted to Samson's wife. They weren't smart enough themselves. They couldn't use their mind. And I'll be honest with you, when it comes to riddles, I have a hard time trying to solve them because it's above my mindset. Some might get it right away. I don't get those things. But they end up and they go to his wife. And she pleads and she begs Samson for the answer. The answer is given. The riddle solved. Now Samson has to hold to the end of his bargain. But I first want you to notice his response to the man who solved the riddle. Go down with me to verse number 17. It says, "And she wept before him the 7 days. while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he had told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, here is their answer, the answer to this riddle. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Samson's response to them amazes me. And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. Do you see what Samson just called his wife? Can I tell you, just in case you don't get it? He referred to her as a cow. Very degrading. But that's exactly how they knew the answer, because they went to her. And she pleaded and she begged with Samson, Samson, tell me. And she cried and cried and cried for 7 days until he finally gave in. What I see out of this picture is very important. I see a woman who isn't loyal to her husband. But I also see another picture. I also see her friends, or I can say her companions, driving a wedge between the husband and a wife. It came between them. Let me say this. Vows are made between a husband and a wife, not between anybody else. The second thing I see in Samson, you might find this funny, but I see Samson has a betting problem. And that's found back in verse number 12. Let's read this again. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it within me these 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garment. So Samson, riddle has been found out. And now because of this, he has to pay his dues. Here comes a sacrifice. Let's read in verse number 19. The same Spirit of the Lord that moved him, the same Spirit of the Lord that came down upon him with the lion, the same Spirit of the Lord once again appears unto Samson in verse number 19. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. What happened in verse number 12 towards the end? He told the men, hey, if you can figure out my riddle, I'm going to give you 30 changes of garment. You know what took place? Because of a wife who wept constantly, because of companions that drove a wedge in between this marriage, a riddle was solved, and 30 men were killed. Their garments were taken off of them and given back to the men that he made, let's put it this way, this bet with. I've never really seen this picture before. Yeah, I've read it many, many times, but I've had to go back and forth. What's going on here? And it's amazing how Scripture, we just overread and we overlook things, but there's so much here. It doesn't stop there. At the end of the chapter, we see a terrible thing that happens. We see that his anger is kindled and he goes back to his father's house. In verse number 20, it says, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend, possibly somebody that traveled with him, that accompanied him on his journey. We see the betrayal of his wife. And because of the betrayal, we see 30 men lose their life. And then we see his wife given to his companion. I'll be honest with you, I really don't know how to end this story tonight, which is why I'm going to say next week, we will pick up from here and dive further into the life of Samson. But I'm going to say this in closing. I would not trade my life for Samson's. Not for one penny. You look at his life, we might look at it as a child growing up. Man, Samson's got mighty strength. He conquered many people. He did so many things. But look at the tragedy that has taken place in his life. We look at the glorious things, but we overlook the tragic things that happens. We're going to go on next week, and we're going to see some more things with Samson's wife and what takes place. And I'm looking forward to that. Actually, it won't be next week because next week's devotion. But we'll get there, amen? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you again for allowing us to see your word tonight. Maybe we've overlooked these things and really haven't taken some things into consideration. But God, I just want to thank you for showing me these things. If it doesn't mean anything to anybody here, God, it means something to me, and I thank you for that. Bless us as we leave from here. Give us safety throughout the week. Thank you, Lord, for the cooler weather that you have brought our way. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.